I love to preach through a book. However, the first week of preaching through the book, the first chapter is always the most difficult. You've got to know the audience. You've got to know why it was written, who it was written to, and some details, or else you can come up with a fallacy. You can come up with wrong reasoning. As I was laying in the bed last night, I got to thinking that if I was a writer of the Bible, and I wrote my grandma a letter, and I said, left her name out because she knew it was written to her. And I said, I'm so sorry you're in the hospital. I hate to see anybody in the hospital. And that becomes the word of God. And you pick up that word, not knowing the backstory, not knowing that was written to grandma. And you look at that and you says, well, when Pastor Eric wrote this word, he said he hated to see anybody in the hospital. So God's against hospitals. Now that sounds funny, but I'm going to tell you, that's exactly how fallacy in the house of God starts. We don't know who it was written to. We don't know the problems. Women be silent in the church. So we create this whole dogma that ladies can't speak in the church, but we don't know that it was written for a problem going on in the church house. So the backstory here, I titled this, 21 days can make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. 21 days can make a difference. Pastor Art used to always preach that, and he would always say, in 21 days you can start a habit, it will change your life forever. And man, I've always been fat. And I used to think, 21 days, I can diet. And I'll never go back to chips or chocolate again. On the 22nd day, I was like, where's the peanut M&Ms? I mean, I just, 21 days never did it for me, right? So it's going to take a spiritual move of God to make these 21 days powerful. The reason I titled that is because Paul, Silas, and Timothy went to this city, Thessalonica, 21 days. In 3 weeks, he preached in the synagogue on Saturday. And he began to tell them about Christ. He began to tell them who he really was. He's the Messiah, guys. He's the one that we've been looking for. All the Old Testament, he fulfills all the Old Testament scriptures. When he says he's the Christ, Christ is not his last name. Christ means the anointed one of God. Amen. He's saying he is the anointed one of God. He did not come the way you think, but he's the one. And many, many people came to know the Lord. And many people just got mad. Isn't that interesting? You know, I find that sometimes the word changes our life and sometimes it just makes us mad. Right? Can I hear an amen? You holier than thou. Sitting there making me seem like the sinner in the place, aren't you? We got two sinners in the house, praise God. Yeah, sometimes it just makes us mad because it convicts us. But I will say one thing. There's one line in there that when these Jews went to the city people and says they found evil men, they went there to create a mob. The only thing you can't deal with in the natural is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost let the church know, hey, they're coming. Get Paul and Silas and Timothy out of the house. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, right? But when they came, they said this line, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Truth, 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 right? And I thought, they had a reputation that even the demons knew who they were. And I just wondered about us. Do you have a reputation that Satan knows? That Satan may try everything he's got to keep you off your knees, because he knows when you get to your knees and you get serious in praying that the heavens declare something's going to happen, because he knows who you are more than you know who you are. Paul knows, had a reputation. Yeah, they're turning the world upside down. I just want to turn Paris upside down. Let's start there, okay? We'll go throughout Tennessee, but let's start right there. So this church, Paul went to this church about 49 AD. Now Jesus was crucified in 33. So about 16 years later, he goes over here and he starts this church in Thessalonica. In 3 weeks, he starts this church. Then in about 52, about 3 years later, and throughout the scripture as we go on, you'll find out that he many times had wanted to go back to Thessalonica, but the Bible says that Satan hindered him. So he couldn't get back there, so he sent Timothy. So he sends Timothy and he says, go check on that church in Thessalonica. Just check on those believers. See what's happening over there. See if there even is a church. You know, we left at night. We got ran out of town. I'm not for sure that anything we've done has caused a church to arise. Or is there any belief over there? And Timothy comes back with a good report and says, there's a church in Thessalonica. After 3 years, the church is going strong. And Paul is like, woo, I'll raise a hallelujah, right? He said, praise God, our efforts were not in vain. And that's where he's writing this book. He says, I've been praying for you. And he says, hey, you know, he gives this greeting that you and I don't understand, but he says, grace and peace to you. What in the world is he saying? He's saying, hey, to you Greeks, grace. May the favor of God rest upon you. But to you Jews that got saved, shalom, peace. That was their custom greeting. We just started to miss it. But he's addressing both groups of people because the church was a diverse group. We heard last night, diversity, when it comes together, is stronger than one of one kind. I thank God for my Catholic and my Baptist brethren and my Methodist brethren in this church. We are a, yeah, what I guess, would you call it that? A hodgepodge church. How many people were raised Pentecostal? How many people were raised Baptist? Any Church of Christ? How many heathen? Woohoo! I think it's time that in the church of God that we get rid of the titles and we just worship God. He goes on, he mentions a few things that I want to talk to you about today. So he says, knowing your election by God. And so I don't know if you caught that. So he is reminding them that they did not choose God, that God chose them. You see, now there's a verse in 1 Timothy 2:4. It says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. See, I think if we're not careful, we get to thinking that we had it together. You know, I'm pretty sharp. I'm so thankful that, you know, I chose Jesus. No, you got it wrong. He chose you. So he could show his goodness, his grace, his mercy in you. Now, will everyone be saved? No. I wish they would, but they won't. But does God choose us all? Absolutely. Jesus died for every one of us. He made the first step in this relationship. God made the first step. He opened the door. Now he's telling you, draw near to me. come follow me. Amen. He comments then on three things that he remembers. He says, I remember three things specifically about you. He said, I remember the work of faith. I remember that you turned from your wicked way. You know, repentance is a turning. So I'm going in one direction, and if I repent, I don't say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, and continue down the road. I say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Make me a different man. I'm going to follow you. The ways of man seem right into his own eyes, but the end thereof is destruction. If you're doing your own thing, you're going to wind up in hell one day. You need to follow Christ. So he says, your work of faith, you turn from idols. He said, there was a significant... I was talking to one person just recently, and he said, when I started coming to this church and I really met Jesus, he said, I had a thumb drive with over 300 pictures of naked women. And he said, I burned it. Guys, that's a big deal. You see, when you come to Jesus, the dishonest become honest. Liars become truth tellers. There's a change in the behavior. It's not just a prayer. There's a change. I was worshiping these little statues made of gold, made of wood, that could not talk and could not act. They couldn't help me admit, but I had believed a lie and I was going to be damned because I was serving those. Until you told me about the real Messiah. And I saw the foolishness of idols. And I turned and I began to worship God. Oh, aren't you glad that in America we don't have idols? Trick question. Oh, buddy, we do, don't we? Yeah, money is such an idol. Oh my goodness, we just serve things. So, so sad. He says something very interesting, though. He said, you followed me and the Lord. Did you catch that? You know, I think within the church, there's such a false humility. That we don't want people to follow us. Well, you're being unscriptural. You see, that very word followers is in the Greek is mimetes, and it means imitators. You see, if I tell you, hey guys, you follow me as I follow Christ, you know what it does to me? It puts some responsibility on me. Hey, you better get this right, big boy. If I'm going, do you know why I didn't want a pastor? It's for this reason alone. I did not want to go to heaven one day and have to give an account for you. I was just hoping to get there myself. It scared the pants off of me. It should. That's exactly right. So that we want to live the life that people can follow. Amen. And he said, you followed me. Now look at your lives. They're different. They're holy. You're going to heaven. In 2 Timothy 2:2, this is such a powerful verse. He says, the things that you have heard among me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I've got the revelation. I'm going to give it to you. Now you give it to someone else who will give it to someone else. You get it? I have told you many times, we are not dams. We are rivers. So it's not wrong to take a revelation that you get from the house of God and share it with your workplace, share it with your kids, share it with your neighbors. Hey, guess what I heard? Man, we ought to want people to follow us. Follow me. Can I teach you how to pray? This woman stands up here every week. She is not performing. She's teaching us how to worship and how to fight in the Spirit of God through worship. You get it? Every one of these people are not here because they're talented. They're here because they're worshipers. We got some work to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me, just also I also imitate Christ. Their work of faith was genuine repentance. And then the second thing he says is, I have noticed your labor of love. In other words, the things that have happened to you, he goes on, he says that you have become examples in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. And he says, the Lord has sounded forth. Get this. The Lord has sounded forth basically in your life. The Lord has sounded forth. The word sounded forth, I can't pronounce it. In the Greek, it's E-X-E-C-H-E-O. Exekeo. Thank you. We have a Greek expert. What it means is you take a rock and you throw it into a pond, and when it hits the water, the ripples begin to go out. Do you realize that's you? That's your life. Your life has been hit by the rock of salvation. Isn't that something? That just come to me. Thank you, Jesus. The rock of salvation hit your dead pond. That old stagnant water. And the ripples begin to go forth. You begin to tell your kids. And you begin to tell your friends. And people that you worked with notice that something was just a little different. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't act the way you used to talk. What's going on with you? I've been hit by the rock of salvation. Jesus is coming. It's, you know, we are so worried about witnessing. We have so much fear of witnessing. Would you just knock it off? Here's what we're asking you to do. Just live the life where you work, where you live, where you shop. Just be you every day. Courtney prayed this Tuesday. He said, let me walk the walk today in your sight. And I thought, yes. If every one of us would pray, I'm not worried about witnessing. My life is a witness. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be. It does not say you will do. It says you will be my witnesses. Why? Because you're different. Do you remember a few decades ago, for those of you as old as I am, people used to wear these badges and say stuff like this, I lost weight, ask me how, right? I think we ought to make a badge that says, my life has been changed, ask me how. I used to be a drug addict, ask me how I'm different. I used to be defeated in everything I did. Ask me how I've changed. Oh, just give me an ear and I'll feel it. Amen. It's the ripple effect. Right. He says, I know your labor of love. I know the work of faith that God did in you and the labor of love that's spreading throughout the world. Isn't that great? Yes. The third thing he said, he says, I know your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, Paul, in 3 weeks, he instilled in this in them. Hey, guys, he's coming back. One of these days, he's coming back. And we will find later in this book that they had a question. They understood he was coming back, but they didn't understand what's going to happen to those people that have died? What happens to those that have died? We're alive and we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. They expected it any day. But what happened to our friends that have already passed away? And we'll get to that in about chapter 5. Paul answers those questions. Later he says, my presentation of the gospel, again, three things. He says, when I presented my gospel message to you, there were three distinct characteristics about it. One, it was in power. If we've got anything missing from the church today, we have got the greatest theologians in the world operating today. There is more biblical knowledge, I think, than there's ever been. So what's the problem? Why is the church decreasing instead of increasing if we have more knowledge? Because we have no power. We got the wisdom. And we're applying all the intellect that we know. So there's men of God that stand before people and they give this great, intelligent, articulate speech. But it's powerless. It's passionless. And it's useless. We need the power of God. It's the power of God that changes life. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is going to make you think that you're all that. But when God touches you and the Spirit of God empowers you, you'll know you're a different person. Paul said in Romans chapter 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. The gospel, the good news, the book that you hold in your hand, it's the power of God unto salvation. It will allow you, it will reveal to you, it will open your eyes. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The carnal mind can't receive it. How many of you have read the Word of God and think that makes no sense to me? You've got to pray. God, open my eyes. Open my ears. Let me see. This is a spiritual book, and it's not written to a carnal mind. God, open so that I can see. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. The power of God that evokes the change that you need. You get it? I think too many Christians are sitting back and think, well, I'm just going to be this way for the rest of my life. We are helpless and hopeless. And God wants to change us. God wants to change us. But it's going to take the power to break off this thing in your head. 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and a power. And then 1 Corinthians 4:20, he says, for the kingdom of God is not word, but it's power. This word, this book that we have, it divides the spirit and the soul. There's power in this book. If you're reading it like you read Shakespeare, you're missing it. You need to say, come on, Jesus. Back this thing up. Show it to me. Unveil it to me, God. And change my life with it. And he says, it was in power. I preached to you in power. And I preached to you in the Spirit of God. We have become experts at having church. We have a lot of professionals in the pulpit today. Pastor Art used to say, the word for seminary is real similar to cemetery. We go to seminary to get educated, and really we're going there to receive death. But the Word of God is alive.
Amen.
If we're trying to have church without the Spirit of God, we're doing it in ourselves. If we're spiritual people, if that's a spiritual book written to spiritual people and we don't get in the Spirit, we're not going to comprehend it. I told you many times, I would sit in service with my mom. It could be the deadest, driest, most boring service I'd ever seen in my life. And my mom would be sitting there, oh, and tears would be running off her eyes. And I used to think, what is she getting that I'm not? Same service. She had clicked into something. I come to you and I preach to you in power. But I preach to you in the Holy Ghost. Most people in the house of God today are so scared of the Holy Spirit. They don't realize He's a friend. He is part of the Godhead that lives within us. We need to quit saying, oh, I don't want to get so spiritual that I'm no earthly good. Hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I have been a Christian a long time. I've only met one Fruit Loop like that. Pentecostals, we get a little fruity once in a while. But most of the time, it's not because we're too spiritual. We need to cling to the Holy Ghost. And we need to say, God, I need you every day. I need you to lead me and guide me, open my heart that I can receive newness and life in the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, folks, we are a dry riverbed. We need the freshness of the river of God to flow through us. We need that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Religion ain't gonna cut it. It's not gonna do it. If it could have, we'd had revival a long time ago. I think religion actually is pushing us away from God. The Holy Spirit is drawing us to Him. And I know, and when I say stuff like that, I know a lot of people are thinking a lot of different thoughts. Oh, He wants us to be like that. Oh, He wants us to be like this. Oh, He wants everybody to speak in tongues. I just want you to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. I want you to get to know Him. If we just skip all the preconceived ideas, I'm not asking you to be like me. I know I'm a little out there. Have you met my wife? She stabilizes me. I promise you, I'm not asking you to be like me. I just want you to get to know Him. I'm going to tell you, Jesus entered the synagogue one day. And all eyes turned to Him. They always allowed the most gifted, talented teacher to speak at the synagogue. And when he walked in, they knew it was him. And he began to quote from Isaiah chapter 61. It's in Luke chapter 4. It was prophetic. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I got news for you. When we get in the Spirit, this is what you're going to find. You're going to find that the Spirit of God has anointed us to proclaim the good news of the gospel, not religion. The good news. You're going to see that the blind eyes are open. The deaf ears are open. You're going to see that those who are oppressed have been released into liberty and into freedom by the work of the Spirit of God. Man doesn't heal you. God heals you. Man doesn't set you free. God sets you free. Man doesn't save you. God saves you. Anything that happens at the altar is not a man. It's God. To God be the glory. Three things. He said, when I presented my gospel, I presented it in the power. I presented it in the Spirit. And I presented it with an assurance. I lived the life right in front of you. And you knew that I was the same when I went home as the message that I spoke. He said, I preached in the assurance you knew what kind of man I was. Even the Jews that turned against Him knew what kind of men they were. These are the guys that are turning the world upside down. You better know it's right. Can I just say, we are the kind of church that wants to see Paris turned upside down. The Bible says, turning them from darkness to light. That's not the work of a man, that's the work of the Holy Ghost. But it takes godly people to walk it out. Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place. See, this is the problem, is most of us don't dwell. We don't tabernacle in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pastor Art used to say, you minister out of the overflow. Well, if you're dry, guess what you're giving off? Dryness. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, like I said, you don't have to work up a speech. It's just going to come out of you. Wherever you're at, people are going to see it. They're going to feel it. They're going to know something's different. Do you know, who was, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, one of those guys back then. They would walk onto a train and people would begin to fall out in the aisles and repent. He never said a word, but his life was so packed with the Spirit and the power of God. Conviction would hit their heart in his very presence. Paul, as he walked the streets, or Peter, one or the other, it said they would bring their sick people out and they would just bring them and lay them out there so that when he walked by, his shadow began to touch people and change their life. Full of the Holy Ghost. We're so scared of being different, and God is saying, I want you to be different. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his... I'm going to have to get some more weight off. This preaching's going to kill me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditate means regurgitates. He's thinking about it all day. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. Is that the life you want? Amen. You're not going to get it by watching TV 8 hours a day. And reading your Bible once a week. Amen. We're looking for some dedicated people. Amen. That will sell out to Jesus. Are you tired? Are you tired of being the same person? Don't you just want a little more? Yes. I feel like a dry sponge sometimes. Oh God. Soak me in your presence. And then when people squeeze me, may it flow out onto them. Treva, if you'll come forward. I feel like the Lord has just really given me this change. In 21 days, our lives could be changed forever. It happened for Paul. In 21 days, he started a church. We started this church. It didn't happen in 21 days. It's still happening, matter of fact. 21 days is September the 8th. See, if I ask you, what do you see yourself being on September the 8th? Our minds can't go there. I just don't believe we can get it. I don't believe that we can see what God can even do in 3 weeks in your life. What if you really dedicated your life to Him for 3 weeks? Saying, God, on the altar I go. And for the next 3 weeks, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm dedicating my life, and I'm believing for permanent change. Would you stand with me? God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. I know from looking at your faces, not everybody gets it. Just didn't get it. That's okay. Come again. We'll spit at you and shout at you another time. I love the suddenlies in the Bible. We had a man that came to church here for 7 years and did not know Jesus. That man had me on my knees more times than I can tell you. I sought God and sought God and sought God and sought God. I just kept saying, God, I know you have the key to his heart. Share with me the key to his heart. May it open. That man's in heaven today, I believe, with all my heart. Because God gave me one line to go share with him. And I said, do you want to accept Jesus? I had asked him so many times. That one day, are you ready to accept Jesus? He said, yes, I am. I about fell off his couch. I'm a real man of faith, I'm going to tell you. God's got the key to your heart, too. I've been asking him today, God, open these hearts. I worried about this message so much. I hate preaching the first chapter of the book. I just do. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do something today. Please don't humor me. I'm not looking to be humored. But if you're willing to say, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to dedicate it to God. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to pray over you. But it's your statement of faith. I want you to step out of your seat and just come and line up here. And we're going to say a prayer. And here, listen to me. Prayed for a guy one time. And he looked at me and he said these words. I didn't feel nothing. I think he thought that was an insult to me. And I said, so what? What's it got to do with feeling? You may not feel anything. It's not about feelings, guys. It's about being, putting your all on the altar. This is a spiritual work. And if you come up here in truth, in sincerity, you're saying, I dedicate to you the next 3 weeks to change my life. Now, let me just tell you, if you're a cigarette smoker, I'd lay it on the altar. If you've got a past of drugs, alcohol, anything that's held you down, I would just say, God, I'm laying everything on the altar and I'm expecting change, Jesus. If you're bound in any way, maybe you got pride so bad that you can't lift your hands in the sanctuary. Oh, you'd like to, but I just can't do it. I'm afraid everybody's looking at me. That's pride. God has set you free. God has set you free. Free indeed. If you're looking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord. I can't do it for you. He's the baptizer. What do you want? My heart says, I want everything you got. Don't withhold anything from me, Jesus. I want it all. Come on, let's move in closer. Just move in closer. Everybody get up here again. I'm not doing anything to you. This is you. Has nothing really to do with me. This is your declaration. So you pray for yourself. You tell the Lord. God, I believe you can change my life in 3 weeks. I submit my life to you. Can we pray? Father God, I lift these people up before you, those that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying this morning. God, they're crying out for the revelation, for the power of God, for the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, they want their lives to change. They don't want to be the same person they've always been. They want to be a new creation in you, God. They want to be a powerful example of the Word of God, a demonstration of God on earth. God, I pray right now, Lord, you have a key to each one of their heart. I pray, God, that you would begin to unveil spiritual things, revelation knowledge that would flow from heaven down to their hearts. God, reveal to them. Lord, reveal to them the things that you're going to break off their life, the habits, Lord, that you're going to break, the language that's going to be cease and desist. And I'm not going to talk that way anymore. I'm going to free your tongue, says the Spirit of the Lord. Negative people are going to become positive people. If you'll lean into me, if you'll trust me, I will do a great thing among you. Hear the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Hear the Spirit of the Lord. There's a new work that's being done on the earth today. And it's not by man. It's by the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid of Him. He is my representative on the earth. Lean in. Invite Him into your heart. Ask Him to lead your every day, your every word. He will do it, says the Lord. Father God, we commit our hearts to you. We look to you for the manifestation of your power and the Holy Spirit upon each person. Now, Satan, we bind you from touching these folks. We bind you from afflicting them as they dedicate their lives to you. For the next few weeks, God, we pray that for the rest of their life, there'll be difference. For the rest of their life, they will remember the manifestation that they got in these 3 weeks. God, we're not looking for a feeling. We're looking for a change to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, we receive. Hallelujah.